This is Tom Waddle on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. Thanks for listening to the Waddle and Sylvie podcast, sponsored by Coors Light. Stay inside and buy your Coors Light online. Find out how at get.coorslight.com. Coors Light, take time to chill.
It can be sad when you miss your favorite interview. Don't despair. Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app. It's Waddle and Sylvie.
ESPN 1000.
Boom, boom. Booms, 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 booms.
All right, more a conversation about the ever-changing landscape of the NFL and what's going on with Aaron Rodgers up north and some really good stuff today.
Chad Millman, our friend at the Action Network, responded to your poll question.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he said, is this a trick question? I sent him back a tweet that said, not a trick question.
Not a trick question. But,
yeah, no.
But again, there are still a third of the people saying, no, they wouldn't want Aaron Rodgers is the quarterback of the Bears.
Yeah, that's the 33% of the people enjoy not getting to the top of the mountain.
Yep. Our Last Dance coverage, first of all, has been a ton of fun. These episodes have been so good. We've been talking to Jason Hare each and every Monday. He's the director of this great docuseries. And all the coverage is brought to you by Coors Light. Stay inside and buy your Coors Light online. Find out how at get.coorslight.com. Coors Light, take time to chill. A lot of reaction to the Isaiah Thomas interview. Tomorrow we're going to talk to Carmen Electra. So it's great. It's 1998 all over again. And a guy who I would run into back then and was always good to me, Attack Athletics. He's the trainer to the stars. He's trained Michael and Kobe and Dwayne Wade. He's a Chicago guy. Went to UIC Relentless. Someone just bought me his book, Waddle. And Tim Grover joins us right now on Waddle and Sylvie. Hi, Tim. How you feeling today? Everything well?
I'm doing great, guys. How about yourself?
Hanging in there. What has been your reaction to watching the first four episodes of the docuseries, The Last Dance?
You know, it's funny. It's like a lot of stuff that I had kind of forgotten about. It's all coming back to me. But obviously, you know, just to see the intensity in Michael and the way he's telling the story and how he is. And it kind of brought me back to when we were working out. He brought the same level to everything that he's doing. And now people are getting a chance to see what I got a chance to experience for 15 years, you know, probably almost 3-4 times a week.
Tim, remind all of us how your relationship with Michael began and then how it grew from that moment.
Well, So what I did was there was a small article in one of the local newspapers of Michael's that said he's tired of taking the abuse from the Detroit Pistons and was looking to get stronger. So what I did was I had just finished my master's degree. So what I did was I made some contacts and sent some letters out to all the different players in the Bulls organization and so forth, saying, hey, This is what I do. This is what my background is. But the one person I didn't send a letter to was Michael. You know, back then there was no emails. You know, you send a letter and you hopefully it gets thrown in the with the rest of the fan mail and somebody opens it up. So somehow Michael ended up getting the letter and he ended up giving it to Dr. John Heffron, who was a team physician at the time, and Mark Fowle, who was the athletic trainer. And then they got in contact with me. They didn't tell me who the individual was, but they say, hey, we have somebody that's interested in your services. So basically for 3 months, I went back and forth with these individuals. You know, they wanted to know my philosophy, my educational background, if I knew what I was doing. They create certain circumstances, situations. And then one day Mark Fogg calls and says, hey, listen, we want you to meet our client. Just be at his house at, you know, 1:30. I'm like, all right, I have no idea. They gave me the address. I had no idea who it was. They still didn't tell me who it was. So I ended up going to the house. I ended up ringing the doorbell. Back then, you could easily walk up to the house. And I rang the doorbell, and Michael Jordan opens up the door. So, and, you know, I'm not a starstruck person, but I was like, okay, you know, if you're going to get a client, this is not a bad client to start with. And the thing that I remember about that story is I was wearing Converse at the time, and I was like, okay, ooh, do I go in this house wearing Converse shoes, or do I take them off outside? But, you know, so those are the things that are running through my head. So I ended up taking the shoes off before I went into the house, and I left the shoes outside. And we went downstairs, had about a 30-minute meeting, asked me about my philosophy and how I could help him and what I could do. And then literally a 30-minute meeting, he said, I'll give you – he goes, I'm going to try it out for 30 days. And 30 days turned into 15 years.
Wow. It's amazing. Tim Grover, MJ's longtime trainer, Attack Athletics, a Chicago guy, joining Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000. We have seen through this, and a lot of us lived through it too as either fans or reporters, mm-hmm. that you had to build up a trust with Michael, and new teammates had to sort of, you know, be tested a little bit. Well, how long did it take you, Tim? Like you said, 30 days turned into 15 years. How long, though, did it take for him to totally trust you?
Well, it took, you know what? It took almost that full month, because everything about Michael is result driven. You know, if you wanted to get, if you were a teammate of his, and you wanted to earn his trust, show him by the results, show him by practicing hard, you know, coming in, going, competing at the highest level, not afraid to take the big shots, making the right passes, you know, challenge him when it's appropriately to be challenged. So what I was with him, what I was doing with Michael is I had literally laid out the plan for the whole month. I said, okay, this is how you're going to feel in 24 hours. This is how you're going to feel in a week. This is how you're going to feel in 2 weeks. This is not everything is going to be good. There's going to be some adjustments that you're just not going to, you're not going to feel right, because listen, obviously, shooting a basketball is a fine motor movement. And I had told him, I said, Michael, when we start this program, your basketball shot's going to be a little bit off. You're going to have to make some adjustments there, so forth. So I kind of laid out the plan for him. So everything that was going to happen, I was already making him aware of it ahead of time. This is how your body's going to feel. This is how it's going to happen. This is how you're going to recover. This is what's going on. So once he saw those things actually come into play, the trust grew and grew and grew. So like I said with him, everything is result driven. You have to produce the end result for him.
Tim, was lifting weights back at that time for basketball players kind of taboo? Because as you said, it would affect his shot. And then when he did subscribe to your way of training, how strong was he? Because we were told a story earlier today where he ran a 40-yard dash back in North Carolina. He ran a sub-4.4. So, I mean, there is natural athleticism there beyond belief. How strong did he get?
Yeah, he had never really lifted consistently until we started the program. But as competitive as he was, you know, it was funny, after the first workout, he was like, obviously he was a little sore 2 days later. And then he came up to me, he goes, listen, if I have to go through this, you have to go through this with me. So I ended up having to work out with him almost every single time he worked out. But he's like, listen, if I got to feel like this, you got to feel like this. But, you know, when he got stronger and stronger and stronger. I mean, one of the best lifts I can tell that he could do, Michael could take 225 pounds off the ground and press it over his head.
Wow.
You know, for 6 reps.
Yeah, it's amazing. Tim Grover joining us, one of the great trainers out there, Relentless Attack Athletics, trained Kobe as well and Dwayne Wade. And I wanted to ask you, Kobe's going to be featured here. The director told us about how he interviewed him and he just got finished editing it when the tragedy hit. How emotional will it be for you to watch these next episodes, Tim?
It's going to be very emotional. It's going to be very emotional. I mean, when this, when the tragedy happened, you know, I got a thing on my phone. I was like, okay, this is not true. Then they just kept coming in more and more. And it really didn't hit me until probably about 3 or 4 days later that, you know, that he's actually gone. And the funny part about the whole story was we were actually going to get together during All-Star break. Mm. So it just didn't happen. I mean, it's still hard for me to grasp that he's not here.
Tim, what is it about? We always say, like, the best players are also the hardest workers, whether it's Walter Payton, it's Jerry Rice, or in basketball it was Michael or it was Kobe. What is it about their DNA or something that you identify that those guys that are so talented are also the ones that are driven so hard?
You know, they've all had setbacks early in their careers, whether they're sports career, life, or something that forces them to keep going. That there's like, no matter what the prize is, they always want more. You know, the things that you tell everybody else, you know, obviously, you know, you played at the highest level, Tom. It's, you don't have to tell the best of the best to show up early, to stay late, to pay attention during film session, to be a great teammate, to push themselves, to elevate other people's game. The stuff that's you have to tell people now, these individuals have already, it was like, yeah, everyone's supposed to do this. They're self motivated. They hold themselves accountable to things they do. When they mess up, all right, they don't need somebody else to tell them they messed up. They already know it. They're harder on themselves than anybody else is ever going to be. They hold themselves to a higher standard than anybody else is going to be. You know, like with Michael, and Kobe was the same way. It's, you know, at the end of practice or the middle of practice, whatever it is, no one wants to do the conditioning work afterwards. Michael was always the first one to finish the runs. And then when everybody else was done, he'd run some more. And because in his mind, he was like, okay, yeah, I ran the same amount everybody else ran in practice, but maybe there's somebody else on another team that's running two extra, so I can't let them outwork me.
Right. Tim, would technology have helped Michael too, as great of shape as he was in and as great of a plan as you've always had? Like, LeBron put so many millions of dollars into his body with cryo and the advancements in nutrition and everything like that. Tom Brady we see and his relationship to his trainer. If you had technology of today back in the mid-90s, could Michael have played even longer?
Oh, no question. I mean, listen, we kind of figured things out, you know, where I had my own version of the Fitbit, you know. So what I used to do is after each game, you know, back then, and you guys can understand, you know, we had what was called a Betamax and a VHS tape, which, you know, these kids know nothing about. So I would record all the games, and I would literally come back and watch. And I would write down on a piece of paper how many steps he took in each direction, how many jumps he did, everything that, you know, where the Fitbit technology tells you now. I was writing all that stuff down on paper so I would know which side he was using more, which side he was using less, which leg he was jumping off of, which leg he was landing off. So that allowed me to better prepare his plans. And, you know, a lot of the stability training, we didn't have stability balls back then. You know, people weren't doing any work off of that. So what we did was we used pillows and sofa cushions to create instability. Back then, you still didn't have foam rollers. So, and this was a test of how of a pain threshold Michael had. All right. We used PVC piping back then. That was our foam roller.
Wow! Oh my God!
that was our foam roller. So, you know, we had, you know, because of my educational background, we have heard about some of these different techniques that were being used, maybe in different countries and different places, or there was a few research there. And I was, you know, Michael, once you have his trust, he was not afraid to try new things. He did not like gimmicks. That was the one thing about it. Michael, if you thought it was a gimmick thing, he would call you out on it instantly. But with the things, yeah, if I had some of the technology that we have now and the information that's available to us, oh, no question. But you know what? In each era, obviously technology and information gets better. It's not an excuse not to be what you have available to you to be able to figure things out. And sometimes too much information can also be detrimental, which I think is a lot of the issues that's going on now.
Yeah. Tim, before we let you go, and Tim Grover's our guest, for all the people who are in quarantine right now, the average Joes like us, what is your tip to them for staying in shape, even with people who don't have equipment at home? What do you tell just the average Joe right now?
Grab some PVC pipe and use it as say.
Well, you got to work out hard enough in order to get some knots in your body so you can roll them out with a PVC pipe. No, you know what? You have a great instrument that you carry with you all the time that gives you all the resistance, that gives you all the movement. Your body. Everyone gets crazy about doing all this, you know, want to go to the gym. I don't have this exercise. I don't have this available. You have enough stuff in your house, and you have so much access to information, you know, Google it, Bing it, YouTube it, whatever it is. There's so much information that's readily available, but you have to do something with that information. You have to move. You have to move. Your body has the ability to create as much resistance as you need right now to stay in somewhat, or for a lot of individuals, to get into better shape.
By the way, back in the day, you had that Chicago mustache. That's a classic, your mustache from back in the day.
Yes, I did.
Tim, you're the best. Thank you for sharing the stories, okay?
Thank you, Tim.
Gentlemen, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it.
You got it. There's Tim Grover, Attack Athletics. You go from Michael to Kobe to Dwayne Wade.
Yeah.
Think about that. And the way he met Michael, not knowing that it was going to be Michael on the other side of the door when he rang the doorbell.
Wearing Converse shoes.
Yeah. So I want to bring up another poll question that I brought up today regarding baseball.
Wow.
Yeah, I do. Two polls in the air, Waddle. It involves the new baseball plan and the Cubs and the White Sox. We'll get into that next.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Follow at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87 on Twitter.
Waddle, the optimism continues to flow in the last 24 hours regarding sports return and baseball and these different plans. Kirchin was on the station today. He's optimistic that they'll be playing baseball in July.
Let's do this.
I saw Passan today on Get Up. He's pretty optimistic that baseball will return. And Bob Nightingale was the one who had the story about the 3 10-team divisions.
I still don't understand it. I know it's your passion and it's your goal in life to get the Cubs and the Sox in the same division, and I get that.
Right.
But the necessity for it, as Jesse was pointing out something that I said earlier in the day yesterday, I don't understand why the current situation we find ourselves in will necessitate the rearranging of the divisions.
Right. If you're going to travel, you're already traveling. Yeah, I get you bring up a really good point.
Thank you.
And maybe what Nightingale is saying is sort of a half-truth. Maybe it's not the total plan. Maybe they will do like some of these regional like pods where they have a place in Florida, a place in Texas, and a place in Arizona where they set up the three divisions, and then these 10-team divisions work out of that main city. Okay. And then there is no real travel except from getting to the local areas. Do you know what
I'm
I mean?
I'm up for that. Yeah, I think that would
make more sense for,
yes,
you know, because I'm with you. I don't know what's going to happen, and I don't know why you would travel a little bit and how that would really, right, in the grand scheme of things,
listen,
keep you safer.
The good thing is we're talking about it, and they're making plans, and they've got a set of plans, and they'll obviously pass them through all of the medical professionals, but they're thinking. Starts with thinking. Got to have a plan.
Yeah, so in of these 10-team divisions, the Cubs and Sox would be in the same division. And as Waddle said, this is the thing that I want to see in my lifetime, not just for a one-year thing. I want to see a DH in Major League Baseball. I don't even think there needs to be an American in a National League. Who cares? I want a team to play all 29 other teams all year. You want to grow the game? I want to be able to see a team in the league play the rest of the 20. There's 162 of these freaking games. Why can't you see every team in the league at one point? Go ahead, Waddle.
No, I was just going to say, I like the fact that you hate the Cardinals. I love that.
Well, that would still be the case. I mean, you would still, you know, and you would still have divisions. You just wouldn't have an American and a National League. You could have these just different realigned divisions all under the main. Why do you need division? Why do you need an American League and an NL?
Because I'm that's a different discussion. But like the divisions themselves, I know I'm an old guy and I'm late to a lot of these things. Like I thought that the extra point moving it back was a bad idea. I get it. I'm the old man in the room. I like the fact that the Brewers and the Cubs and the Cardinals and sometimes the Reds have a little bit of a rivalry.
The White Sox used to be in the same division with the Brewers. That's changed.
That's true.
That's a recent change. The Astros used to be in the division with the Cubs. Stuff changes. My thing just is you have this Cubs and Sox thing, and I was thinking more about this because you're like, you hold out hope for this one-in-a-million shot that the Cubs and the White Sox could play in the World Series one.
Correct.
And I'd rather have the bird in the hand, A, knowing that they're going to play every year in meaningful baseball for the same right to win the division. Two, I mean, I know it may not be a World Series. How great would it be if you could see a playoff series between the Cubs and the White Sox? That's more likely to happen if they're in the same division, just like the Cubs and Cardinals played each other in 2015. I mean, these are things that, as one listener pointed out, if fans are going to hate each other in this town, Cubs and Sox fans, the games might as well mean something. And I just think where you could have a division of a regional division with the Sox and the Brewers and the Cubs and the Twins and the Tigers, just like this football division, the Cardinals, all these local teams where you're playing each other so many times a year, those are all more reason to watch more baseball.
Well, I'm a Reds fan, so my vote is in last of the four of us. So I would turn to the other two Chicago baseball fans in the booth right now, guys that are probably on Twitch doing odd things. Meller's probably got a handful of nuts in his mouth.
Abdallah's a bag of cookies, actually.
You got what kind of cookies?
He's eating these rich people cookies. Like, we're not going through a pandemic.
All right, let me guess what a rich person cookie would be.
Entenmann's.
It tasted like rich people. It tasted like if I went to a fancy party, I'd be like, "This cookie's too good for chocolate chip? Too good for an oatmeal
kind of
raisin?
What cookies are they?
What
are
their, yeah, what's I want to know what
you guys are
going to
laugh at him.
They're Pepperidge Farm strawberry cookies. Oh, they're not even Milano's.
That's not rich people cookies.
Those are rich people cookies. No one goes to the store and be like, you know what? I want a Pepperidge Farm strawberry.
You do once you've tasted
things.
Them.
I don't. I want some tea.
That's some tea.
And my pinky.
Are you saying that's a tea cookie?
That's a crumpet style cookie right there. That's
a
tea
them,
and crumpet
it's not
style
a rich
cookie.
Person cookie.
It is most definitely
it's
a
like $3.49 a bag.
What's wrong with some Chips Ahoy? It's like $1 a bag.
Oh, have you ever put Chips Ahoy in the microwave?
Of
like
course.
Do you mean in the package or no? When you remove them and put them
you
in?
You remove them. Yeah, you put like four or five, six, seven, eight,
I mean,
nine,
yeah, what are we,
cookies?
Rookies? I don't know.
Yeah, I know. They used to do that. That was the homemade cookie in the dorm. You know, when I was at Southern, the homemade cookie was Chips Ahoy in the microwave for about 10 seconds.
Yeah, not Pepperidge Farm, not strawberry, well, whatever these
you
are.
You didn't have Pepperidge Farm money back then.
We should do the final four on your favorite cookie. What about the fudge stripe?
That was good.
With the
Keebler,
elves,
yes. Keebler
fudge elves, stripe yeah. cookies. Yeah. Yeah. Nothing's better than the old school Oreo cookie. Don't give me the double stuff. Just give me the usual Oreo stuff, the Oreo cookie.
Far be it from me to be the one that actually gets us back on a sports track right here, so I do apologize. But
we're
I want to know
cookies.
I want to know Meller's opinion as a Sox fan, and then Abdallah's opinion as a Cub fan. Do you have the same craving that Sylvie has for your two Chicago baseball teams to reside in the same division?
Honestly, I don't. I'm not. Look, I wouldn't hate it.
You're soft. He called you soft.
I guess. All right. I wouldn't hate it, but I think they're better when you get them in, you know, absence makes the heart grow fonder. Like, the more games you put, the less special it is throughout the season.
I don't agree. I think the more meaningful the games are.
I would say, first of all, just freaking play. I don't care at this point who you're playing or when you're playing. Play the Sandlot team for all I care. But it's like, I think it's because of working in this industry and the hype we've put around Cubs and Sox games, that I just don't care to play the Sox. Like, I don't care about it. It doesn't do anything
do
for
know
me.
What a but, Abdallah, what a first-round playoff matchup would be like between the Cubs and Sox, and how often that could happen, how great that would be for this city.
Yeah.
Think about it. And then, like,
in the
you
same
can
division,
do, you can
know how, I know that you've played you played the Brewers in the wild card game, but really, how often are you going?
You played the Brewers in the wild card game. You've played the Pittsburgh Pirates in the wild card game. You've played the St. Louis Cardinals in a 5-game series. You've faced your division a lot lately. The Sox and Twins have gotten into 163. I just think that to get those types of things, to have, and think about this on the East Coast, to have Boston, the Mets, the Yankees, the Phillies, the Nationals, all in the same division. You know, you regionalize it where you really make them a true East Coast, Midwest division. And then, like I've told you before, where you get the four teams that are in the NFC North, you have those four cities also in this baseball division with Minnesota, Detroit, Wisconsin, and Chicago.
At what point do we ask the question, though, how many of these plan? We get a new plan, like, every day.
Yeah.
Like, involving something. And I'm not opposed to it, but it seems like baseball is literally just throwing stuff. Like, they're just cycling
through.
They're
trying to create something that will enhance their popularity, of course.
Yeah, but Jeff Passan gets like the Monday, Wednesday, Friday stories. Bob Nightingale gets one on Tuesday. And then Ken Rosenthal gets one on like Thursday and Saturday. And
they get like a new pandemic, bro.
I know, and I'm not opposed to it.
They're trying to figure it out.
But what they're giving us a different plan every day.
That's good though, because which ones
do you guys think are realistic?
Yeah. It doesn't matter. They're all realistic at this point. It's better than the alternative of them being like, hey, guess what? We can start playing in like a week, and people are like, well, what are we gonna do?
I'm not opposed to there's so many plans that have been thrown out there. I don't know which ones to, you know, actually contemplate
finally,
seriously.
To you is the snob with the tea and the cookies in there to poo-poo all of these plans.
We'll do a final four cookies and we'll do a final four of plans.
You don't get to a stage in your life where you buy rich people cookies without actually, you know, poking holes in some of the problematic.
Oh, you're a professional poo-pooer, of course.
Are you eating the cookie while sipping on tea with your pinky in
I have
air?
Coffee, so no tea Jesus. Here.
Do you dip your cookies in your coffee and tea?
Not these cookies.
No.
Not these cookies.
You don't give rich people cookies.
Are you one of these guys that dips your your chocolate chip cookies into milk?
On occasion. It's not like a yearly thing, but every once in a while.
Chocolate chip
Oreos and milk is the best.
Yeah. Any cookie in milk, I think, is good. Except for these stupid rich people strawberry cookies. Who eats a strawberry cookie? Why are you putting strawberries in cookies?
You're acting like it's a bad-tasting cookie. You guys have had the strawberry Pepperidge Farm cookies, right?
I have not. No, I'm not one of the rich people like you. I don't even know where I could buy those.
I'm slumming it with Oreos.
I think if you put those out, those would be the last cookies taken. If you had a lineup of cookies, those would be the last ones taken. No one would want those. I would rather not eat cookies than eat those cookies again.
We don't have any of that stuff. We just have like all those old hard cinnamon candies around the house. That's all we have.
I don't know what's more overrated. Those cookies or the Lee Elia Ramp?
Oh, geez, we wove it all together.
Yeah.
That's perfect.
Well done.
And we'll cover that and other things in Waddle's World coming up next.
It's that time again when we venture deep into the great unknown.
And in Chicago, Tom Waddle. He can't run, he's not fast, but he gets open.
A trip inside the mind of a multi-concussed former Bears wide receiver.
He caught everything that was thrown and took every hit that they could give him, and he had an all-time day in the use of smelling salts.
Buckle up, boys and girls.
Tom Waddle, every team wants to have a Tom Waddle. If I had a football team, I'd like to have a Tom Waddle on my team because you draw from that.
It's time to go inside Waddle's World.
Tom Waddle did have to use a lot of smelling salts.
Oh, that's right, John. Waddle's World, brought to you by our great friends and partners at Wintrust Community Banks. They are Chicago's banks. Find your nearest Wintrust Community Bank. Visit wintrust.com/findus. Member FDIC. I believe both of you, all three of you rather, have heard this sound, but we're going to play it for the masses out there listening right now. Earlier today on Golic and Wingo, Rod Thorne joined the guys to talk about the alleged snub of Isaiah Thomas on the Dream Team in 92. I don't think I need to set it up any more than that, Maller, do I? I mean, it's pretty self-explanatory.
Yeah, I think, you know, maybe just to add, like, you know, the rumors that Jordan was the reason Isaiah was not included in the Dream Team, and Rod Thorne debunked that.
We decided, guys that we were considering, because at that time, you know, we had a concern that maybe somebody wouldn't want to play. I was the guy that called Jordan, and when I called Jordan, his first inclination was he didn't know if he wanted to play or not, because, as he said, I played on a, you know, on an Olympic team before, you know, with Bobby Knight in Los Angeles, and
right.
You know, I like to play golf, and you know, it's for the younger guys, as far as I'm concerned. And so we continued the conversation, and at the end of the conversation, he said, "You know something, I'll do it." There was never anything in my conversation with him that had to do with Isaiah Thomas.
Hmm. Does that debunk all the thoughts?
I don't know. I think I believe that Isaiah froze out Michael in the All-Star game, even though what Isaiah told us. And I believe that Michael didn't want Isaiah on the Olympic team.
Interesting. Was there anything else from the interview today with Golic and Wingo, Jeff, that you can summarize for all of us?
There was a follow-up question, which then I think Rod Thorne maybe wasn't as convincing in terms of he was asked why Isaiah didn't make it then, and he seemed perplexed. So we can play that later in the show if you want.
Okay,
it's a little
we'll
bit
do
longer.
That. He's like, I don't know why. We had John Stockton.
So some NFL news. We've already talked about Brett Favre, what he had to say when he joined Rich Eisen's show about Aaron Rodgers and whether or not he will finish his career elsewhere. We'll get back to that later in the show. NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell is not taking a salary during the pandemic. Goodell has reduced his salary to $0, and other NFL employees will be taking pay cuts or furloughs due to the pandemic, according to a memo obtained by ESPN. NFL also is implementing tiered reductions in base salary, beginning with a 5% reduction for workers up to the manager's level, 7% for directors, 10% for vice presidents, and so on and so forth.
What does Goodell make? Like $40 million, doesn't he?
Something like that,
50,
yes.
I think.
Wow.
Make it 60, for crying out loud. Just give him 60, all right? I think he finally came off and won some PR points with 50. How things transpired at the draft.
50 million, 50? And I mean, that's
a lot.
Didn't really look like that. I mean, I'm just saying.
Fellas,
like,
what have I always told you?
I've been in Waddle's den, and I'm just saying it's nicer. Like, he could have had a bigger room.
Could have had
a
bag of Pepperidge Farm cookies
like
for $50 million
a year. That dude eats some crumpet-ass cookies for sure. Like, that dude is eating crumpet cookies.
Let me ask you guys again. Do you think the $50 million is all for all the wonderful decisions he's made? Or do you think $50 million is, some of it is because he knows where the bodies are buried?
Yeah, he's a meat shield. We know
it's the shield for the shield.
He knows where the bodies are buried. Tom Brady's all-in challenge package sells for $800,000. Let me give you the details so you don't think it's weird. A package that included dinner or a workout with Brady after his first home game with the Buccaneers, as well as tickets to the game. His jersey and cleats netted $800,000. Several other items closed recently, including $525,000 for 18 holes of golf and dinner for 10 with Peyton Manning, who will fly to the Winter City for the event. You know how much I love Tom Brady, right?
Yes.
I would prefer the golf with Manning and dinner with Manning, I believe.
Yeah, that would be fun.
Yeah.
Peyton's a funny and fun guy.
I saw some of the Peyton's Place things the other day. He's entertaining as hell.
He's funny. Yes, I know. I wish he would have taken the Monday night gig.
Yeah.
He would have been good.
Caesar Sportsbook sets rushing prop on Lamar Jackson at 999 and a half yards. He set the single-season record for most rushing yards by a quarterback last year with 1,206.
That's a pretty decent regression. I mean, would you still take the over? I know you don't want to run
as much. Is it a 16-game season?
I wonder what is the bet state there?
How about this? How about this to put this into perspective? Each of the previous three quarterbacks to rush for over 900 yards in a season ran for less than 600 yards the following
year. Oh, wow.
So each of the previous three quarterbacks to rush for over 900, yes. So
it reminds me of the defensive takeaway stat.
That is correct.
It's really tough to duplicate.
Whoa, we've got
chatter.
Baseball. That's football.
Gentlemen, the Bears have signed wide receiver and return man Trevor Davis to a one-year contract. Now, why is this important, you ask? You're like, Who's this guy? Well, he played for the Raiders, the Dolphins, and the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah, got that right.
Some familiarity with Aaron Rodgers. I don't know. I'm just throwing that out there. I'm just connecting dots. I'm just connecting dots. Maybe he's his favorite wide receiver ever. We don't know.
Well done, Abdallah.
That was the worst chatter ever.
Way to sniff that out. No, football chatter.
It was a fair signing.
Good.
That's right. True.
Hey, by the way, did you see the NCAA board has supported the, NIL? NCAA Board of Governors gave its support to a plan that allows athletes to make money off of their names, images, and likeness. It's called their NIL compensation, NIL compensation, as never before, and without involvement from the association, schools, or conferences. Proposed rule changes still must be voted on by NCAA membership at the convention in January. The NCAA said it will still seek help from Congress to keep individual states from passing their own laws on compensation for college athletes. So I think the best way to describe this is players are now allowed to be compensated for their likeness, their images. You want to go pitch cars at your local Toyota dealership,
let's
or you want to come down and take my job representing Hawk, Jeep, and Dodge and all their other stuff? Don't do that. But if you did and you were a college athlete, you'd get paid for it.
It should
which I
be
think
that
is right.
Way. And look, a lot of these players, because maybe because of the pandemic, but more of them are not going to college and they're going to the G League.
G League.
You know, maybe this is they need to, or else all these players will be able to, you know, make way more money elsewhere.
Manny Ramirez is 47 and he wants to play again in Taiwan. I believe he played there briefly in 2013. He wants to go back. And the LPGA is targeting a mid-July return, and they have shifted their championship to October. So they're moving some things around, but looks like the women are going to get back on the golf course mid-July. Nonsense and a trip inside the chaos that is Florida or Ohio next.
Coming up next,
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Just had a little interesting conversation with the fellas back at the shop as they're twitching. The conversation was about adding another dog to an already home that already has a dog. Like, my dog is 11 years old, Lola. There's no way I could bring a puppy in here. It would devastate her, and I'm not willing to devastate Lola. So
we agree. I had the same conversation with my wife within the last month, at least a few times, how it would be poor form to our 12-year-old dog to bring another dog, especially if you're talking about a puppy, into the mix.
Yeah.
And you had I think the oddest thing was the comparison you made, Waddle.
Abdallah was actually saying that Penny, his dog, his three-legged dog, is 10. And I said, listen, and
my
your
wife
lovely
wants
wife
to get another one. She's sending me pictures, and I'm saying no.
And I said to Abdallah, I said, you can't do that. That'd be like bringing a girlfriend into the house that you share with your wife. I mean, you can't do that.
Oh, you're telling me that having two dogs is the equivalent to having two wives?
It's not.
I mean, maybe it wasn't an apples to apples comparison.
You know what it's like? Yeah. It's like drafting Jordan Love when you have Aaron Rodgers.
Okay, there you go. That's right. You're ruining the relationship with your existing quarterback or dog for a new one that you just don't know. Maybe the new dog. Listen, I want all of these animals to have healthy and happy homes. But I just think that you got to think of Penny first.
I would bet you that there are people out there who own multiple dogs who would tell you that it's almost sometimes for the older animal, it's better to have a youthful animal and therefore keeps it active and they have form a friendship. And I bet you there are a lot of good things that come out of having a second animal in the house.
Yeah, I hear there's a 25-year-old radio host coming in from New York that's going to start working on our show.
With all the comps now? I mean,
I'm just saying. I mean, like, listen, just love your dog. How about that?
It would keep Lola active.
No. Lola went on a long walk with my daughter in the in Middle Fork Farms over in the area over there in the Savannah, whatever it is. The area behind House Hall, actually, is where we used to live. And she went back there and took the dog. My dog's been limping for 10 hours today.
Like, she's 11. Is there a stone in the paw, maybe?
No. She's not built at this age to be walking a mile and a half. It was a bad decision by my daughter, who wasn't trying to be mean to the dog, but probably she asked the dog to overexert herself, and she's been limping around like I do in the house now.
All the Waddles are great Limpers. Athletes, but they're all broken down athletes.
There's no doubt.
Including Lola.
That is right. There's no doubt. Hey, if the coronavirus wasn't enough, there's a mile-wide asteroid set to pass within 3.9 miles of Earth today.
Did it already happen? I saw this.
Is this yesterday? Is this today? I don't have a date on this article. I saw this a couple days ago. A Wednesday today, an asteroid more than a mile wide will pass by Earth on Wednesday while traveling at a speed of about 19,000 miles an hour.
Is this do we know if it already did it? Will this be the thing that does us in? The asteroid that does hit us?
That or the White Sox and Cubs in the same division going forward? I mean, one of the two. No, I mean, look, isn't it widely believed that that was the extinction of the dinosaurs?
Yes,
was because of an asteroid that hit the Earth?
Yes.
Come on, you just get Bruce, Willis and Steve Buscemi, you put them on something NASA related, and you send it at the asteroid, right?
Wait, how far did you say it was away from us?
19,000 miles?
No. The asteroid.
It was moving 19,000 miles an hour. Yeah, it's 3.9 million miles.
Million miles. I was going to say, if an asteroid is coming 3.9
I know. I thought I heard you say that, too.
Away from us.
Did you really say 3.9 miles?
Yeah, did we start getting calls from people saying, oh, my God, we're dying?
But I was like, wait a minute. We would definitely feel that. Yeah.
Listen to you, big astrology guy over there. 3.9 million miles.
I had to look it up.
How far? I mean, how far away is another planet?
Like, so the moon is. So this would be the. It'd be 3.9 million miles is 16 times the distance between our planet and the moon.
The moon. Wow.
Yeah.
So that's not getting anywhere near us.
No.
That's like our chances of winning a Super Bowl title. Come on.
But this is, to me, Waddle, this is like you when you're in studio and you're trying to throw the paper and get it behind the camera.
That's
like,
true.
Eventually you're going to hit one.
That's true. No, you're right. I mean,
one's
going
to be close enough.
I'm just thinking that we may have technology that you guys don't know about that we can make sure that...
But they made a whole movie about it. It's called
That's
Armageddon.
That's my point.
It's called Armageddon.
I wasn't talking about Bruce Willis and Steve Buscemi for anything else.
Yeah.
By the way, family sat down last night. Grown Ups 2 was on television. We watched the whole thing. Everyone in the family was belly laughing.
Really?
Belly laughing.
Hey, have you ever... This is the Grown Ups 2, but we started it last night. Have you guys watched the Waco David Crush story?
That's the other thing that my wife's watching. Like we were done with Game of Thrones last week.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic. So then
you had no issues the way it ended?
None at all. No, I didn't. Oh, that was
okay.
Great. But she started the Waco. Is this new or is this an older one?
I think it's older, but it's been trending lately, and we started it last night, and it's not bad.
Yeah, she's enjoying it as well. By the way, an octopus is the latest marine creature spotted in a Venice canal. Octopus spotted in the now crystal clear canals of Venice under coronavirus lockdown. Like when I went to Venice, I went 20 some years ago, it smelled so bad and the water was dirty.
We went there 5 years ago and I always wanted to go to Venice. It's nice. It's cool to see. But there are many great cities in Italy that I would now go to over Venice.
We were just watching a lot of the videos from our trip to Italy from, 20 years ago, whatever it was. It's unbelievable. Like you think, like I went to school in Boston. You think Boston's old. Boston's one of the oldest cities in the United States. Go to Rome. That's old.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Listen, guys, you want to talk old, come to my country.
Go to the pyramids.
It's very nice.
Pennsylvania liquor store sells $2.3 million worth of alcohol in first days of curbside pickup.
Wow.
There are some industries that I think are doing okay.
That's one of them, the alcohol sales.
I think the liquor stores are doing fine.
Yeah.
I think it's time to play a game, no?
Yes.
Yes?
Yes.
No?
See?
Yes.
Is it time to play a game?
Get ready to play the game that's sweeping the nation.
Quit eating those cookies.
Public drunkenness. Exotic animals. Dumb criminals. Random stabbings. Or maybe just some good old-fashioned debauchery. Everything's on the table. It's the Sunshine State versus the Buckeye State as we play Florida or Ohio. And as always, listeners, feel free to play along at home.
Bum, bum.
You guys made me open up the Oreos.
I can tell.
Yeah, we did not.
I can tell.
You made
Waddle's World is cookie o'clock for.
By the way, I like the new hairstyle. I saw when Mason took your hat off. He's got a little flipper in front.
Yes, my wife did that with the 3.0, the lawnmower 3.0.
Yeah, it looks good. Yep.
Welcome, Matt, at home, seeks warrant, and deputies did. A welcome mat again. At the front door of a home read, a welcome mat at the front door of a home read, come back with a warrant. And that's just what police did before finding drugs and drug paraphernalia inside.
Well, time out. So they put a welcome mat out front that says come back with a warrant. Don't tempt the law.
The report said that there was the home was in part of an investigation into illegal drugs after seeing the doormat. Police say the police department got a warrant, and they went inside. They found some fentanyl and some drug paraphernalia inside. And there were four people, and they were arrested immediately.
This is South Florida.
Come back with the warrant.
You know what? I'm gonna go Vero Beach as well. First, I was thinking when you said fentanyl, I'm not thinking Ohio, so I'm gonna go Vero Beach. Want to mess with fentanyl, boys? Just don't mess with fentanyl.
What is that exactly? What's fentanyl?
I think it's something that if you touch it and you get a bad batch of it and you put it anywhere near your face, it can ruin your life forever. Like I'm no drug lord or no drug czar.
It doesn't sound but fentanyl. Like it. What do they do with it?
It's not booger sugar. Okay, you can't just do a bump or a line and get really amped up and then it wears off. You get some bad fentanyl and you're done.
Okay.
Yeah, it's
if you
good.
Got any fentanyl fans out
high
there.
High risk of addiction and dependence can cause respiratory distress and death when taken in high doses or when combined with other substances, especially alcohol.
Stay away from the fentanyl. That's like, don't put your hand in a fire. I mean, it's like, it goes without saying, but I feel at times I have to say stuff like that. Stay away from fentanyl. Vero Beach.
Hey, welcome, Matt. Told police to seek a warrant, which they did in Palm Coast, Florida.
Yeah. Nice. There you go. That was a pretty easy one. All right, we've got coming up next, Peter King. Peter King loved himself some Brett Favre when he played. Now is history repeating itself in Green Bay all over again. Could Aaron Rodgers be looking for a new team in the next year? We'll discuss that. And could the Bears be a possibility with Peter King in 2 minutes?